Prime Time Replay from Money FM 89.3. Focus, hosted by Howie Lim and Bernard Lim. Only on Money FM 89.3.
Now, last week we talked about how One Pearl Bank drew 4,000 people to its public preview. And yesterday, its developer CapitaLand said it sold 80% of the 200 units released over the weekend at an average price of $2,400 per square foot. Impressive numbers all around.
Absolutely. Well, joining us today for Powering Your Property is Karamjit Singh, senior consultant at the real estate firm JLL and CEO of Show Suite. Now, showsuite.com is a new homes portal where you can experience your new dream home in 3D and VR. You can download the app for free on the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store. Well, Karamjit, CapitaLand has called it the best-selling new launch in Singapore's central area year to date. Well, apart from the fact that there's quite of a high-profile project, why do you think it's done so well?
Well, for a few reasons, Bennett. One is that it did enjoy a lot of good press, a lot of publicity arising from its former iconic building form. It was the site of the first government land tender for condominium, so it's got that heritage value. But nothing taking away from the fact that they've done a good job in designing something that appears iconic and at the same time modern, and I believe that the project also presents quite well. So all this kind of adds to the fact that they are located in what is known as central area, which is that small geographical area within Singapore where developers are allowed to build much smaller units than generally speaking, because they don't have certain minimum average size requirements as the rest of the Singapore island has.
Karamjit, CapitaLand didn't release the price per square foot initially, but at $2,400 per square foot, what do you think of the price point? Definitely out of my reach.
You know, in relation to the purchase price of the En Bloc project, that was kind of pretty much expected because they paid about $1,500 per square foot on the land. So once you add everything up and with it in margin, they would need to sell about 2.4, 2.5 or thereabouts. So that didn't come as a surprise. But their advantage is the smaller size unit. So in absolute terms, quantums tend to be lower.
What about the profile of the buyers? Some 80% of home buyers were locals, we hear, while foreign buyers were mainly from China, Malaysia and Indonesia.
Yeah, that sounds very typical. Generally, 3 in 4, sometimes 4 in 5 buyers tend to be all Singaporeans. The profile of foreigners is very typical. And again, the big reason for that overwhelming source of buyers being Singaporeans is because of the ABSD that penalizes foreigners, the high stamp duties that's payable by foreigners when they purchase residential properties here.
You reckon One Pearl Bank's performance bodes well for other projects in the central region, or do you think it's a one-off limited to this particular project? After all, many economists are saying the signs are all there for an economic slowdown in Singapore from the second half of the year.
So you've got economic slowdown and you've got the fact that there's quite a bit of supply that's coming on strong. So these are the known headwinds. But there would continue to be some projects that stand out. They've got certain X factors that are priced well. They've got well-presented kind of marketing spin around them. I think they will stand out. So I would say it's a case where all projects are going to fare similarly well. It's only those that have got a string of X factors supporting them.
Okay, we're speaking with Karamjit Singh, senior consultant at real estate firm JLL and CEO of Show Suite. Well, just a stone throw away from One Pearl Bank is the iconic Eu Yan Sang building along with South Bridge Road in Chinatown. And today it has been launched for sale with a guide price of $62.5 million. Well, the building was built more than 100 years ago. I believe it was 1910 by the same architect who built Raffles Hotel and Victoria Memorial Hall. I mean, given it's a conservation shop house, what kind of limitations will the new owner face in developing the building, Karamjit?
So shop houses under conservation, basically what it means is that the owner can't change the facade. So there are strict guidelines in relation to what you can do on the outer side of the buildings, including choice of materials that affect facade, including paint, scheme, windows, doors or so. But internally, can they be reconfigured? Absolutely. To a large extent, they can. There's some free play there, but a whole host of controls on the external side.
What about potential use of the site? And what kind of buyers do you think it'll draw?
Sure. So the approved use in the master plan is commercial. Currently, it's tenanted out to hostel operators. There's a law firm there, and of course, the iconic retail store on the ground floor. So in keeping with that, whoever buys it has a free hand in deciding who to rent it out to, but it will largely be office and retail users. Who would be the buyer? I think it will end up going to one of those typical investors who love to own something that looks iconic. And this is, it's for keeps, it's for long term.
Okay, meanwhile, over at Bukit Timah, Beauty World Plaza's second en bloc attempt at an unchanged reserve price of $165 million failed to draw any takers. I mean, is price the biggest issue here, Karamjit? What do you think is the biggest challenge here for Beauty World Plaza's attempt at going en bloc?
It is price, and there's no two ways about it. You know, there are loads of en bloc sellers who want to be, but the main reason they can't fetch a suitable buyer is because they've set too unreasonable an expectation. Yes, there is a timing element to all this. The best time, obviously, is to hit the market when it's hot, but in any case, there's demand for almost any form of development opportunity, but provided it is priced right.
Karamjit, what's next for those who have failed to go en bloc? And then also, what would they need to do, say, for Beauty World Plaza anyway, to make it third time lucky?
You know, for any en bloc exercise, the sales committee has up to 12 months to secure a buy from the time that they've got the requisite number of signatures, the 80% signatures. So typically within that 12-month period, there's probably two rounds or two opportunities to launch tenders. Should the second tender be unsuccessful for whatever reason, then chances are they will have to relaunch an entire new exercise, which involves setting up a new sales committee, a new appointment of the lawyers and the consultants, get the signatures all over again. Now, what might be wise for them to do is, you know, to time the new launch when the market, you know, where the demand for such land is higher than, you know, where it is right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, we spoke earlier about how businesses are bracing themselves for an economic downturn. I mean, does this make en bloc market a more challenging one? I mean, last week, Singapore Shopping Centre also put itself on the en bloc market with a $255 million reserve price.
So it's down to, actually, to a large extent, pricing. In almost any market, there's always demand for land. Developers need to buy land because that's the basic raw material for them to be able to deliver on their core purpose of deriving profit. And if they fail to do that regularly, they obviously will have revenue disruption, profit disruption. So in that sense, there would be an opportunity, but what would be the optimal opportunity for that once-in-a-lifetime selling opportunity? Then obviously that requires, you know, getting the timing right. But commercial properties, you know, demand is reasonably strong. The headwinds that we talked about earlier on were large around residential market, but there is still an opportunity for commercial en blocs to take place, provided they do not overprice themselves.
Well, it's always wonderful to hear from you, Karamjit Singh, senior consultant at real estate firm JLL and the CEO of Show Suite. Showsuite.com is a new homes portal where you can experience your dream home in 3D and VR. You can download the app for free on the Apple App Store and Google Play Store.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.